Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on X at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 10th of August, 2024, and the title of today's show is Eyes on the UK, Harris Waltz in the Spotlight, Trump Emergency. So things are deteriorating rapidly in the UK in terms of the people's view of the Labour government and also in terms of Keir Starmer's party government actually getting full 1984 with the British people. I said eyes on the UK because it's covered by many in the US, not only in some of the media, but also very much on X. And we've got even Fox News, Gateway Pundit, Zero Hedge, all commenting on this or doing editorials. And people basically saying, you know, if we allow Kamala and Harris to be elected in November, then this is the way that the US will go. But it's just shocking to me as a Brit, you know, having been in the US for 13 years and come back last May, to find my home country in this state is just unbelievable. I'm going to go through some of the detail because it is a very clear demonstration of what the WEF Great Reset agenda is all about. And there have been people calling for King Charles, not my king, to speak up and do something about this. And he did make a statement, but when he's also controlled by the WEF, a WEF puppet, then it's unrealistic to think that he's going to speak out against this totalitarianism that is being imposed by the current Labour government. And bear in mind, they were only elected on the 4th of July. So we're only like 5 weeks into this administration, and the country is going up in flames in some cases, literally. So I'm going to be sharing a mix of reports and also Twitter or X posts as well. And even Elon Musk is speaking out about this on X as well. So we have, thankfully, a lot of international support for what's going on and the deliberate oppression of the native Brits. And I think, you know, people are bemoaning the fact that we've got this administration in for 5 years, because that's the normal term of a UK government. But I really don't think they can last that long, not with the way they're clamping down on people. And, you know, there is a way for the monarch to actually dissolve Parliament. Whether that will happen, as I say, with Charles being part of the WEF cohort, we'll have to see. But we certainly can't last 5 years under this totalitarian regime, that's for sure. So I'll try and put these articles and reports in consecutive order. I may not get it completely right, but I hope you'll forgive me for that. The first one is Zero Hedge on the 6th, which was Tuesday. Armed migrant gangs stalk UK while government cracks down on native Brits. It's a story we've seen before. In the US and Europe during the pandemic lockdowns, far-left rioting and looting in the name of BLM was widely celebrated by the corporate media and protected by government officials. The lockdown mandates were not enforced when it came to progressive unrest. Conservative anti-mandate protesters, on the other hand, were treated as terrorists, and governments were quick to censor, suppress, and intimidate. A two-tier policing system and legal system bubbled to the surface. Wherever conservative, nationalist, or, quote, right-wing, end quote, protests arise in the West, the full force of government power is applied to frighten the public into compliance. It might be to enforce COVID mandates, or it might be to prevent the populace from questioning open border policies. In the UK, the mask has truly come off. The message? You will accept mass immigration from the third world or else. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer's recent announcement on the government response to British protests are highly revealing. To summarise, Indigenous and right-wing Brits, and that's in quotes again, are not allowed to take to the streets or online because their ideology is wrong. Armed Muslim migrant gangs and leftists are apparently free to do whatever they please. UK authorities, not surprisingly, have also called for a COVID-style lockdown in order to control British patriots. The conspiracy theorists were right again. The lockdown policies of the pandemic were never about protecting public health. They were a test to see how effectively they could subjugate the population. And it's got a screenshot from Times Radio. Walney suggests COVID-style controls of mass protests. The British public will back them in whatever measures they feel are necessary to get this situation under control. Lord Walney calls for a COVID-style response to rioting across England. Many Brits argue that Starmer's proclamations have emboldened violent migrant gangs and armed Muslim groups to take to the streets and attack white people at random. The migrants refer to this as asserting dominance. Starmer has made little mention of the migrant gangs now patrolling the streets of UK neighbourhoods and has focused solely on Indigenous British protesters. And there's a ex-post, I nearly said tweet again, from David Curtin. Two-tier policing. A huge crowd of Muslims gathers on the streets in Birmingham. There are no police, no dogs, no horses, no kettling, no snatch squads, no facial recognition surveillance, no arrests, no condemnation from the Starmer regime. And a tweet from SL. The foreigners in Birmingham made their way to a local pub. Listen to the way this foreigner is talking. We're asserting dominance. Ian Miles Chong tweeted, and I'm just not going to call it X, it just doesn't resonate with me at all. An elderly man is set upon by a mob of migrants in Birmingham who savagely beat him unconscious. It's unclear if he survived. Will there be any justice for the English? The only reason migrants are able to behave this way without being checked is because UK authorities made it clear that Brits who organise to defend themselves will be prosecuted. The two-tier system is designed to protect non-citizens and the open border ideology. Keep in mind, a teenage child of Rwandan migrants went on a killing spree at a children's dance recital in Southport last week, and this is what triggered the civil unrest to begin with. After a decade of relentless, unvetted immigration, rising crime and rape gangs, the British are finally fed up. Yet Starmer and the UK government made no statements addressing the continuing problems caused by mass immigration from third world countries. They have treated these numerous incidents as coincidental and denied any relation to the criminals' ideology. Native Brits feel utterly unrepresented by their own political leadership. migrant gangs calling themselves the Muslim Defence League stalk British cities with impunity. Few, if any, police are in sight when these gangs are engaging in criminal activity. When police do encounter the gangs, they reassure the migrants that the authorities are there to protect them. The media, referring to the Muslim groups as anti-racism protesters, have tried their best to make the MDL look good, but they're having some difficulty. And again, this is an ex-post or tweet, and it's Sky News, and there's a female reporter on the streets, and there's a protester all in black with a mask who comes riding up on a motorbike and basically intimidates this reporter that they have to kind of rush her off the site. And then Europe Invasion tweets, breaking, a crowd of Muslim immigrants waits outside a Birmingham McDonald's with swords and machetes. The amount of footage showcasing the lack of policing when it comes to migrants is endless, not only in the past week, but also in the past several months of aggressive pro-Palestinian protests in London. The absence of safety and the special treatment of migrants by the legal system is what British patriots have been complaining about, and the UK government just doubled down. Ultimately, it may be time for Brits to accept the reality that the current government is the source of their pain and migrant violence is just a symptom. I think we're way past that stage, actually. I think more and more Brits are realising that the government is actually traitorous in terms of how it's treating its constituents, the people it's supposed to work for. You know, most of this is centred in bigger towns and cities, but the new Home Secretary, I think it was, announced that they were going to disperse migrants to every community. So they're basically trying to spread these Islamic or other third world migrants with no cultural compatibility with the UK into even the rural communities, which is a disaster. I mean, they've done that with opening up a military base in a small village, and the villagers were up in arms because they were going to be outnumbered by these migrants. And to claim that they're asylum seekers is just ridiculous, because they're all male, young males, just like the migrants, the illegals that have been swarming into the US through the southern border. So to just call them asylum seekers and, oh, you know, they have a right to be looked after, when the main part of the UK population is struggling to pay for energy and food bills and so on, it's just a slap in the face to the taxpayers. And it gets worse. This is a report by Modernity. It's a site I haven't come across before, but as usual, it was shared on Twitter. Modernity posted the 8th. Jail time for being wrong on the internet. UK authorities now arresting people for posting inaccurate information on social media. Authorities in the UK are now arresting people for posting inaccurate information on social media, according to a new report. Sky News reports that a woman has been arrested by Cheshire Police for posting inaccurate information on social media about the attacker who stabbed three girls to death in Southport last week. The 55-year-old woman was arrested near the northern town of Chester on suspicion of publishing written material to stir up racial hatred and false communications. Chief Superintendent Alison Ross gave a statement explaining how the post is alleged to have fueled the protests and riots in the UK over the last week, which she asserts started as a result of malicious and inaccurate communications online. And disclosed TV posts on Twitter, just in, UK authorities begin to arrest citizens for social media posts containing inaccurate information. Ross said the arrest was a warning to others about the dangers of posting information on social media platforms without checking the accuracy, and that we are all accountable for our actions. UK police are now arresting people for being wrong on the internet. Let that sink in. Presumably, the woman will now be thrown in prison along with people who attended the protests, such as Stephen Malin, who has been jailed for 26 months for shouting at police officers. Fox, which is not Fox News, it's a Foxblade 98 handle on Twitter, we're literally releasing 500 prisoners early so we can imprison blokes like this for 26 months for aggressively shouting at coppers. Not many will have huge sympathy for these rioters, but you're insane if you can't see how ridiculous this is. As we highlighted earlier, head of the Met Police, Sir Mark Rowley, warned that keyboard warriors could be hit with terrorism charges for inciting riots online, even if they are living abroad. Brits have also been warned that merely retweeting information about the riots could lead to criminal charges. Stephen Parkinson, the Director of Public Prosecutions, told Sky News that people do not even need to personally post the content themselves to be deemed to be committing an offence. Parkinson said social media users could be guilty of, quote, incitement to racial hatred, end quote, if they post, quote, insulting or abusive, end quote, content that is, quote, likely to stir up racial hatred, end quote. Now, Elon Musk has been fairly vocal about this on his platform, X, and I'll try and again to get these in sequential order, but they may be a bit random as according to when I actually came across them. And there's a post by End Wokeness, and it says, breaking, UK authorities will round up and charge citizens who retweet any material deemed as inciting hatred. And it's got a recording of the DPP guy. And Elon Musk's response is the woke Stasi. And then Joe Rogan is quoted by Maria Norfal. UK speech crackdown reminds me of Soviet Russia. The fact that they're comfortable with finding people who've said something that they disagreed with and put them in an effing cage in England in 2024 is really wild. And Elon Musk agrees 100%. And there's a meme by Sir Doge of the Coin. The fact that Orwell's 1984 is set in the UK is just poetic. Boy, did I call it or what? George Orwell. And Elon Musk is showing an emoji of hitting the target. Maria Norfal again posts, man jailed for watching riots in Belfast. Cameron Armstrong, 18, from Belfast, was charged with rioting despite his lawyer stating he had only gone to the area where protests were taking place to have a look. And of course, Belfast is in Northern Ireland. And Elon Musk's response is, observing protests is apparently illegal. And there's a post by Alex Armstrong replying to Mario Norfal. Yes, we do. And it's another meme. Tier one, asylum seeker ordered to pay only £2 a month for assaulting an emergency worker, let off community service as he doesn't speak English. And tier two, Steve Mallon jailed for 26 months for shouting and gesticulating at police. And Elon Musk responds, sure seems like unequal justice in the UK. And I think the original was responding to the claims that are widespread and true, in my opinion, about there being two-tier justice, two-tier policing, and there are hashtags of the same, and also two-tier Starmer. So, not a popular guy at all. I'll give you an amusing X post about that a little later. Elon also posts, it's 2030 in the UK, and you're being executed for posting a meme, obviously looking into the future if we don't get rid of these people. And interestingly, because I do post a lot and share a lot on social media, I'm thinking, are they going to come after me? So anyway, I do not comply. I wanted to share those X posts from Elon Musk because crazed authoritarians demand X be shut down in UK. And this is from Modernity News again, following in the footsteps of communist China, mimicking a policy that the West once condemned communist China for pursuing. Authoritarians are now calling for X to be shut down completely in the UK to stop civil unrest. After the country was rocked by a series of riots over the past week in response to a 17-year-old son of Rwandan immigrants killing three little girls in Southport, the media and the political class blamed the anger on misinformation shared on X. In reality, the UK has been a boiling pot of resentment and rage over mass migration for years, with huge numbers continuing to arrive, putting massive strain on the country and making some parts of major towns and cities unrecognisable, despite nobody having ever voted for it. And in fact, part of the Brexit movement was against the migration, the open borders within the EU, and it's not got better, it's actually got worse. However, the disorder is being exploited to grease the skids for mass censorship. Cambridge Professor Sander van der Linden said the government could geo-restrict access to a platform if the situation got so bad, and Twitter could also be banned from the App Store for violating policies. And LBC reports on X, Elon Musk is running into trouble by making outrageous statements and amplifying misinformation. That's a quote. As the riots continue, Sander V.D. Linden warns that the government could restrict access to Twitter or it could be banned from app stores. Jessica Seymour QC also called for the UK government to pass a short bill closing down Twitter in the UK. Leo Kearse on YouTube and Saturday Night Showdown on X posts, the left are acting like a Middle East dictator during the Arab Spring. We must crush the people. They're dissatisfied with our rule and noticing our lies. So they're calling for this under the auspices of the Online Safety Bill, which is a fairly recent law that's been passed in the UK, and it was done under the excuse of protecting children from harmful content. So now they're trying to use this as the means to prosecute people for posting things that go against the totalitarian regime. The thing is, though, you know, there's been a big uproar about the fact that the government, and this is the Conservatives before they were voted out, as well as Labour, who have said their hands are tied on immigration because the UK is a member of the ECHR, which is the European Commission on Human Rights. But the same commission has, as part of its agreement, that you cannot suppress free speech. So this draconian response to people on social media actually is in violation of that treaty. The report says, although the riots are cited as the primary reason for mass censorship, the calls are also being driven by the fact that Elon Musk has challenged the mainstream narrative on the riots and embarrassed Prime Minister Keir Starmer. Musk branded Starmer two-tier Keir for pursuing a vigorous crackdown on anti-mass migration demonstrators while turning a blind eye to Muslim mobs who have also rioted and physically attacked innocent people. The British political establishment engaged in a collective hissy fit over Musk's simple question for Starmer and the government when he asked, "Why aren't all communities protected in Britain?" And Dan Wooten posted on X, the British MSM and establishment is losing its mind, quite literally. The BBC's technology editor just described Elon Musk as potentially quite dangerous on its main 10 p.m. news bulletin. Why? For using the hashtag #2TierKia. The ex-owner also drew attention to a viral video clip of a man being arrested in his own home by police over a Facebook post asking if it was Britain or the Soviet Union. The regime is deeply fearful that Musk's intervention is causing them to lose control of the narrative that the unrest is being fueled by mindless racist thuggery and not legitimate concerns about the impact of mass migration on working class people in the UK. Even Fox is reporting on this, as I said. UK police commissioner threatens to extradite and jail US citizens over online posts. We'll come after you. Talk about megalomania. Being a keyboard warrior does not make you safe from the law, the police commissioner warned. London's Metropolitan Police Chief warned that officials will not only be cracking down on British citizens for commentary on the riots in the UK, but on American citizens as well. We will throw the full force of the law at people. And whether you're in this country committing crimes on the streets or committing crimes from further afield online, we will come after you, Metropolitan Police Commissioner Sir Mark Rowley told Sky News. I want to share a thread that was actually published earlier today on X, and it's by Martin Daubney. And it says, 4 million far-right Brits, a threat. Today we'll see a national day of protest against the far right. One event stands out. At 2:30 p.m, a Stop the Far Right demonstration will take place at the London HQ of Reform Party UK. Of course, we know that they are putting paid agents provocateurs in there to stir up trouble with violence, which is not what the peaceful protest did on, I think it was July the 27th, with Tommy Robinson having organised a protest in Trafalgar Square. There was no violence there at all. So the violence is not being caused by the Patriots. It's being caused by Antifa types all dressed in black and starting trouble, which is then, of course, blamed on the innocent people. And this thread goes on. At the general election, 4,072,947 Brits voted Reform. So according to today's protests, there are at least 4,072,947 far rights in Britain. Seems a bit spicy. Read on. The agenda. With the government, the police and the media behind them, today's organisers, hardcore leftist Marxist communists, are trying to stamp out any form of political opposition, let alone a revolution. 4 million fascists. How long before we hear calls for Reform to be a proscribed organisation? In today's Kafkaesque landscape, nothing is off limits. Keep an eye on vocal has-beens like Humza Yousaf. The establishment media joined forces. What's been fascinating this week was watching the traditionally pro-Brexit media, the Mail, Telegraph, Express, side with Socialist Worker, by the way, how many of them actually work, and the anti-racists, some of whom seem more than a bit racist, especially against Jews, while others want to slit the throats of their opponents, but hey, they're mostly peaceful, right? Why were The Guardian and Mail on the same side? Why did the right-wing media support groups they normally despise, do you think? Might it be because they too want Reform and Farage gone? They pose an existential threat to their beloved Tory party. Does the liberal media, BBC, Channel 4, ITV, etc., and the right-wing media want the same thing? Continuity of red-stroke-blue power swaps. Farage was useful to the Tories and their supportive press for a while. He made them get Brexit done and gifted them an 80-seat majority that they squandered. But now he's not up for cosy deals like the BBC. Perhaps they want Farage gone. The problem. But calling the 17.4 million who voted Brexit various forms of racist, fascist, Nazi, far right for 6 years didn't just fail. It delivered 5,248,533 votes for the Brexit Party in May 2019. It got shot of Cameron in May. It helped create those 4,072,947 Reform voters. Post-Southport, I'd wager there are now many more than 4,072,947, and that scares the bejesus out of the establishment. Rule by fear. So now the entire machine of government, the police, the judiciary and their patsy media have swung against the far right, exactly as they mobilised en masse during COVID when there was no serious political or media opposition. To place the public under fear once again, to maintain the status quo that keeps them all cosily in power. It will get worse. COVID gave them a taste for authoritarianism. Now it's rabid and will get worse. How long before Britain has a variant of the USA's National Guard, the Stormtroopers, a rapid response hybrid of police and army to stamp down on the far right? How long before a Minister for Social Media, Orwell's Ministry of Truth made real, Blair's COVID passports to be reheated in some guise, CCTV Britain that will make Beijing blush? Will we all be on a Big Brother facial recognition database? Well, I think so, because that's one of the things that Starmer is introducing more. The communist state of Britain. It all sounds like China's social credit system, where we're tracked and traced, rewarded, but mostly penalised for doing whatever the state decides is today's wrong thing. That might be breaking lockdowns, attending riots or protests, being at the same event as known enemies of the state, even accidentally, driving during high pollution days, eating too much meat, smoking, drinking, too much alcohol, etc. You might think that sounds bonkers. Remember, today's conspiracy theory is tomorrow's reality, and many of the above actually wanted us to show a digital ID to go to church, football, pubs, libraries during lockdowns. And there's a couple of screenshots of headlines. Keir Starmer announces new violent disorder unit as police brace for more riots. Prime Minister speaks to police chiefs after protests following mass stabbing on Monday. And the rabidly left-wing Guardian has a report, Starmer's live facial recognition plan would usher in national ID, campaigners say. The end game. Now, off the back of these riots, the establishment is opportunistically attempting to put Farage and Reform at the helm of the far right. Labour, Tories, media, the entire machine, they all want him gone. Nobody can mobilise that masses like Farage because, and here's the point, there is no organised far right in Britain. It's a myth made real by all of the above. And there's a headline saying, poll, should Nigel Farage take blame for the recent riots? Vote now. Nigel Farage has hit back after riots across the UK have been dubbed Farage riots. Should the Reform UK leader take any blame for the recent unrest? It doesn't show the results of the poll, but they're basically trying to stab him in the back, basically. The opportunity. Yesterday, fascinating data emerged that showed the Apathy Party, aka none of the above, scored 40.3% at the general election. That's more than double Labour, 20.1%, who won a thin landslide. Flip this apathy into action and you'd win in 2029. Far-right riots were in Labour seats. Notice where the riots have been this past week. Southport, Labour, Hartlepool, Labour, Middlesbrough, Hull, Blackpool, Stoke, Manchester, Leeds, Aldershot, Liverpool, all Labour. That's a lot of far right in Labour seats, isn't it? It's almost like they're not far right, but fed up. And they're fed up in Labour seats. And that's the point. If the spirit of today's disenfranchisement is captured electorally, Labour will be out in one term and the Tories dead for a generation. It will be Brexit on steroids. Throw in the Uni Party's great immigration betrayal, endless freebies for illegal immigrants, more poverty for working Brits, two-tiered policing of grooming gangs, BLM, pro-Palestine protests, Starmer taking the knee to BLM but putting his knee to the throat of the far right. Political pandering. The constant pandering to the Muslim community. The Manchester Airport Four are still enjoying their liberty while far rights have been jailed for Facebook posts. And that was an incident at Manchester Airport where a Muslim family attacked the police, and the police in the airport were armed. And to stop the assailant, the main assailant, from getting hold of his gun, he actually got the guy on the floor and kicked him in the head, and he was then suspended and under investigation and so on. And of course, the media only showed a brief clip. What it didn't show was these thugs punching one of the female police officers in the face and breaking her nose. And there have been two earlier incidents elsewhere in the airport where they'd been violent. So once again, two-tier policing. Continuing the thread, we're nearly at the end. This pandering will continue to extinguish the pro-Gaza independent movement that almost cost Wes Streeting his seat. The Muslim vote needs to be wooed, so the far right is merely a convenient stooge, bogeyman vehicle. Will Farage have the last laugh? To millions of Brits, it feels like their country is fast disappearing. They believe all of the above policy and pandering is destroying Britain, perhaps forever. And for that, they get called far right. But they don't think they're far right, just right. But if we've learned anything from Brexit or Trump's deplorables, spoiler, they haven't, then attacking them won't make them go away. It will make them stronger. But to be heard, they need a leader. For now, those millions believe Nigel Farage is their only hope. And that, sweet readers, is why the entire establishment wants Nigel Farage gone. They will do all they can to destroy him. Will they succeed, or will Nigel Farage once again have the last laugh? And incidentally, Martin Daubney is actually a journalist who has a show on GB News. Now, I know I've spent a long time on this. It's probably taken longer than I expected it to. But it's an indication of what is likely to happen if the Democrats get re-elected in November. And I don't believe they will. They won't be allowed to steal the election again. But it's very indicative, or reminiscent, I should say, of how the January 6th protesters have been treated. I mean, the way that they've been locked up without trial and in many cases brutalised within the prison system is what could happen everywhere. I mean, it's happening in Europe as well. So, you know, we have to keep an eye on things, not only in our own country, but also what's happening under these evil, satanic WEF and more people. Because we have to stand up against it and really, you know, collectively say no to this and do something about it. So I'm going to end on this topic anyway, on a lighter note. And this is from Yorkshire Lass on Twitter. And she's a great truther, one of the UK best. And she shares an article by the Babylon Bee, which, if you're not familiar with it, is a satire site. And the headline in their article is Russia sends troops to liberate oppressed British people from communist rule. And the text of it, London, in response to desperate pleas from downtrodden citizens throughout the United Kingdom, Russia announced it was preparing to send troops to liberate oppressed British people from communist rule. British citizens who had been crushed under a communist reign of terror reportedly rejoiced when hearing the news that the brave, freedom-loving Russian military would soon arrive to set them free from the despotic British government. We have heard the cries for help from the persecuted British people, Russian President Vladimir Putin said when announcing the operation. Our forces are now on their way to the United Kingdom to liberate these poor, helpless people from the iron grip of their oppressive communist rulers. We are happy to export the freedom we have here in Russia to the countries of the West. Upon hearing of their impending liberation, British citizens wept tears of joy. I have been dreaming of this day, said London resident Wellington Hamptonshire. We have been living under communist brutality and oppression for so long that we have forgotten what it feels like to be free. Thank God for the kindness of Russia and Vladimir Putin for risking so much to bring freedom to Great Britain. Sources within the British government said Prime Minister Keir Starmer remained committed to retaining power and keeping the people of the UK enslaved under his totalitarian regime. At publishing time, Russia was rumoured to also be in the early stages of making plans to liberate the United States in the event of a Kamala Harris presidency. I love their reports, their articles, they're absolutely hilarious. So on to my next topic, Harris and Waltz in the spotlight. And of course, Kamala Harris chose Tim Walz as her running mate for the election, assuming she isn't dethroned before then. It'd be interesting to see what the DNC conference comes up with, because there's a lot of people with misgivings in the Democrat Party about Kamala Harris. But there's a lot of news come out this week about Walz and how he has lied about his service record in order to get support for being elected. He is governor of Minnesota. And there's also a lot of news coming out about his policies, which are in support of pedophiles, in support of transgender surgery for young people, in support of abortion up to birth, and also for supporting the BLM protests back in, I think it was 2020 now, wasn't it? And how he didn't call in the National Guard for several days while these mainly peaceful protests were burning down businesses and setting fire to things on streets and assaulting people during the riots. The main thing people are focusing on, though, is what they call stolen valor. Gateway Pundit reports on this. Explosive 2009 video resurfaces. Two veterans confront Tim Walz's staff over false Afghanistan service claims. Told them that Stolen Valor Act violations could lead to jail time. And this was published on the 8th. The controversy surrounding Tim Walz's military service has resurfaced following his selection as Kamala Harris's running mate, with accusations of stolen valor. Stolen valor refers to the act of falsely claiming military service, honors, or awards that one has not earned, often to gain respect or tangible benefits. The Stolen Valor Act of 2013 specifically makes it a federal crime to claim receipt of certain military awards fraudulently, with penalties including fines and imprisonment. Tim Walz has consistently portrayed himself as a veteran of Operation Enduring Freedom, the US military operation in Afghanistan initiated after the September 11th attacks. However, it has come to light that Waltz never deployed to Afghanistan, nor did he engage in any combat operations during his military career. His service was primarily in Italy, where he supported NATO forces, but did not see action in the Middle East, Free Beacon reported. The Gateway Pundit previously reported on a 2007 video of Tim Walz falsely claiming he deployed in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. I spent 24 years in the National Guard, some of that full time. I was an artilleryman. I deployed in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. My battalion provided base security throughout the European theatre, from Turkey to England in the early stages of the war in Afghanistan. And that same battalion is now in Iraq at this time, Walz said in 2007 on C-SPAN. In 2009, Iraq war veteran David Thull confronted Waltz's aides at his Mankato office regarding these claims. Thull, armed with knowledge and evidence, filmed the encounter where he pointed out that Waltz's assertions could be interpreted as violations of the Stolen Valor Act. During this confrontation, Thull informed Waltz's aides that such misrepresentations could lead to jail time. Thull presented evidence indicating that while Walz served in a supportive role, he did not serve in Afghanistan or engage in any combat actions. One aide admitted she was not aware of Walz serving in Afghanistan. Thull went on to present the 2004 photo of Walz holding a sign that says Enduring Freedom Veterans for Care, as well as Walz's website to another aide who acknowledged that constituents could get the false impression that Walz served in Afghanistan. Operation Enduring Freedom is limited to Afghanistan and the airspace directly above, Thull explained during the encounter. Congressman Walz is clearly claiming to be an Enduring Freedom veteran. Nobody disputes the fact that he is not an Afghanistan or Enduring Freedom veteran, so this represents a fairly serious issue. This right here, under current US law, could get the congressman probably thrown in jail in violation of 2006's Stolen Valor Act, which says it's a federal crime to portray yourself in writing or verbally as having received an award or decoration by Congress that you didn't receive. Congressman Walz is clearly claiming in this picture with this sign to be an Enduring Freedom veteran. Nobody disputes the fact that he is not an Afghanistan or an Enduring Freedom veteran, so this represents a fairly serious issue, he said. David Thull also shared a blog post in 2009 detailing his concerns about Waltz's military record. Thull echoed Rush Limbaugh's phony soldier comment from 2007, referring to the media's tendency to quote soldiers against the war in Iraq whose service and military records turned out to be false. I won't read the rest of the article, but it also mentions in there Tim Walz calling himself a retired command sergeant major from the Minnesota National Guard, which has also turned out to be false because he was an acting command sergeant major, but was then demoted because he hadn't completed the necessary training to be confirmed in that rank. So this has been all over the alternative news in the last week, along with other things relating to the Harris-Walz candidacy. And then, surprise, surprise, Slate News reports Harris campaign stealth edits Tim Walz's biography as stolen valor scandal grows. Democrat presidential nominee Kamala Harris's campaign has quietly stealth-edited the biography for running mate Tim Walz after he was caught lying about his military rank. The website no longer describes Walz as a retired command sergeant major after the Minnesota National Guard confirmed he retired as a master sergeant. Since tapping the little-known Minnesota governor to be her running mate, Harris has highlighted Walz's military background to appeal to voters in the Rust Belt. The move also seeks to buttress Harris's push for gun control. However, Walz is facing damaging accusations of lying about his service to advance his political career. Democrats have been scrambling to defend Walz's comments, with the Harris campaign issuing a statement saying, in his 24 years of service, the governor carried, fired and trained others to use weapons of war innumerable times. In addition to lying about serving in combat, Walz appears to have misrepresented his rank at retirement. The Minnesota National Guard confirmed Wednesday that he retired as a master sergeant. However, Walz has long claimed that he retired as a command sergeant major. The Harris campaign updated his bio after Walz's rank came under scrutiny. After the stealth edit, the page now vaguely says that he rose to that rank. The phrasing is still ambiguous enough to suggest he retired as a command sergeant major. His bio does not mention that he retired as a master sergeant. Walz's promotion to command sergeant major was conditional on completing additional coursework, the National Guard said. He retired in 2005 to focus on running for Congress, triggering his demotion. At the time, his artillery unit was preparing to deploy to Iraq. However, Walz abandoned his battalion shortly before he was due to be deployed. Veterans who served under Walz have accused him of showing cowardice and claiming a rank he didn't earn. So I must say, this Kamala Harris, Tim Walz team is falling apart at the seams. It's turning into a complete disaster. Other things have come out about it as well. First, of course, is Trump. Highlighting the fact that she hasn't done a press conference, she hasn't done any interviews, she hasn't even answered questions without referring to a teleprompter. And also Laura Loomer on Twitter posted a couple of images and said that Kamala Harris's campaign is using AI to create fake rally photos of huge crowds. And the other thing to note is these supposed rallies were actually piggybacking on concerts, music events, which were full of people going for the music. And once Kamala started speaking, most of them left. So it's all a complete farce. And in fact, it's going up in flames so quickly that I'm beginning to think that this is a white hat operation to put these two in the spotlight. And also now Trump is saying that Biden is going to reclaim his candidacy for re-election at the DNC conference. So it's very interesting the way it's all playing out again. People on X are also commenting what a disaster it would be if Kamala Harris and Tim Walz won the 2024 election. Of course, they would have to do it by cheating because there's no way people would support these two. But, you know, I keep saying the White Hats are not going to allow the election to be stolen again. It was allowed in 2020 for reasons that were part of the Great Reveal, but it won't happen again. So, having mentioned Trump, on his way to appear at a rally in Bozeman, Montana, his plane had to make an emergency landing. Now, this is DC Drano on X. Trump's plane makes emergency landing in Billings, Montana, due to equipment failure. Medevac flight and motorcade en route to Billings from Bozeman. After he was shot in the head, we absolutely cannot rule out intentional sabotage of his plane. Investigate his airplane mechanics immediately. And quite a few of us have been wondering whether this was another attempt. Trump actually recorded a video that he posted from the plane. Well, I presume it was his plane, or it could have been when he moved on to another plane to go from Billings to Bozeman. So everybody's relieved that he's okay and praying for his safety. But my favourite astrologer, Starseed Astrology on X, posted something back in July, which was a prediction that something like this might happen, which is interesting. On July 28th, I gave a prediction stroke warning about President Trump and danger connected to mechanical sabotage. I pinpointed mid-August. That appears to have happened today. We continue to pray for President Trump, America, and the whole world. Patriotically, Sal. And there's a screenshot of his post, which was on the 28th of July. And it reads, I see clear signs of elevated assassination risk for President Trump in August, on and around the 15th, due to the upcoming Mars-Saturn square and the Lilith-Pluto trine. These are dangerous aspects that could sink with another attempt on his precious life. And he warns, be vigilant against explosives hidden in travel routes. Use alternative secretive travel routes. Keep the enemy guessing about movement and timing. Red flag for mechanical sabotage. Put your best people on quality checks for vehicle safety, performance and armor. And Sal has done some pretty accurate predictions of things happening, and he's also done quite a number of profiles of the key figures in politics. He's done one of Kamala Harris, Keir Starmer, and also on the 1st of August he posted, don't be surprised if you see a Kamala Harris sex tape scandal erupting soon. I say this because of two main astrological reasons. Saturn is entering harsher opposition to Kamala's third house Venus in Virgo. And next week, on August 4th, Mercury will begin its retrograde in Virgo, which I see as a sensitive energy in her chart. I see massive skeletons coming out of her closet from next week onward, and in such a way that she can't recover from it. Plus, I think that an extremely damaging leak ordered by someone that she thinks is on her team is highly likely. Sabotage. Her Mercury retrograde looks brutal, defeat resonant, and unexpected in bad ways. And he also posted, this breaks 3 days after my prediction, and it's a post from Matt Wallace. Major story, Kamala Harris's ex-sexual partner Willie Brown says he has a secret photo of Kamala. This could change the entire race. Turn those notifications on quickly. I will post it here the second he releases it. So I really encourage you to take a look at starseedastrology.com. He does these reports, which you'll find on the blog pages. And I've had a couple of reports from him, which have been really impressive. So he's an excellent astrologer, and he and his wife and family live in Phoenix, which wasn't that far from me when I was in Goodyear, Arizona. So that's all I have time for this week. Lots going on. Of course, I'm not completely comfortable with what's going on in the UK, but as usual, I look at the bright side and think this is really red-pilling so many people in the UK. And I think it's accelerating in order to bring it in line with the level of awakening in the US and other places around the world who are going through similar things, because, you know, the UK has been behind on the global situation and the Great Reset agenda, I think. So it's a bit like a rapid catch-up that's going on. And it's so in your face, you just can't miss it. So that's all I have time for this week. I hope you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week. And thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the show. And just a reminder that you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net. I'm currently changing quite a bit on my website because I'm adding new services there, which should be up and running in the next week, including timeline therapy, hypnotherapy, and putting together smaller packages of sessions for removing limiting beliefs and embedding future goals so that it smooths the paths to their achievement. So I'll keep you informed about that. And I'd like to thank Nancy for producing and Derek Condit for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio. So until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.